I'm glad you're here as we look at this next unit in Experiencing God. If you're new in our church this weekend, we're going through an Experiencing God study by Henry Blackaby. In fact, as a church, this is our third time to go through this. We went through this study about 10 years ago. And, you know, it just revolutionizes a believer's walk with him. I'm glad we're doing it again because I had a tendency of forgetting these principles that that we learn. And life has a tendency of doing that, of just squeezing out what God wants to do. So I am thankful for this reminder. And this morning, as we look at Unit 7, Henry Blackaby says that it's probably this unit and also next week's unit on the adjustments that we have to make that create the most stress and struggle and crisis as we move forward and believe in what God has told us to do. One of the underlying theme of this message this morning is when it comes to a crisis of belief, God wants you and I to exercise persevering faith. Okay, write that down. He wants us to exercise persevering faith. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And it's not a faith in you. It's not a faith in your ability or a faith in what you have in your hand that God wants to use. No, we're talking about a faith in the power of God, in what only He can do. And God calls us to do things as individuals that we have to show absolute dependence upon Him. And God also has things for us to do as a church corporately that only He can do through us. And that is the theme of this morning's message. There's many examples of faith that you have in Scripture this morning. Yeah, and I have one wrong Scripture reference there. Maybe you can help me out. Daniel in the lion's den. I'm not sure. I think that's in Daniel chapter 7. You might be able to shout that out to me, though. 6. All right. Thank you. But you have the first example of Caleb. Well, there's many examples, but one of them is Caleb. You know the story. 12 spies were asked to go into the promised land to search out what it was like and what they were going to be doing next as a nation as they crossed over in the promised land. And the spies came back. 10 had a negative report and 2 had a positive report. And the 10, they thought, there is no way possible. I know God said that He's going to give us this land, but hey, we're like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. There are giants over there. We can't go over there and take that land. Yet here was Caleb and Joshua, and they said, this is what God has said. And we need to believe Him. The land is ours. And they had a faith that believed in the power of God. You see the story of Job in the midst of suffering. And, you know, friends said, you know, there's sin in your life and you just need to confess that sin and God will make things right. And Job was a man who walked with integrity, and he all these circumstances were happening in his life were beyond his control, but he knew that God was his advocate, and that in God's eyes, he was righteous, and God was going to be defending him. He had a faith in God's power. The Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they knew that God was going to protect them. Even if they burned to a crisp, they knew God was God. And He was going to just see them through that. And then Daniel in the lion's den. And then you look at Luke chapter 7, the sinful woman. And this woman believed in the power of God, that God could forgive her of her sin. She had a saving faith. And so God wants you and I, and as we go through this study, God wants you and I to have a faith that absolutely believes in the power of God, what He is going to do according to what He has told us to do. So, crisis of belief and the power of faith. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 17 this morning. And a crisis that the disciples found themselves in. And just a little setup to the story. Jesus and three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're coming down off the mountain where Jesus had been transfigured. They had a glorious experience up there, and they come into the valley, and there is chaos going on. And we begin with verse 14. The Bible says, "And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him.' And Jesus answered, 'O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then when the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' He said to them, 'Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" What an amazing sentence. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here to there, and nothing will be impossible for you. Do you have that kind of faith? Now, just a word about the mountain. Jesus wasn't talking about a literal mountain. Jesus was, when you see mountains in Scripture, oftentimes they're used as a metaphor for an obstacle, a challenge, something monumental that is blocking our vision of God. You know, God gives us the word that He can do anything through us, but then we have this obstacle that says, "Yeah, but what about this?" And we forget God's promises. Those are the mountains that Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture. And Jesus says, if you have the faith of a grain, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. Mountains are problems. Death is a mountain. Sickness is a mountain. Old age is a mountain. Unpaid bills are mountains. Marriage problems are a mountain. Rebellious children are a mountain. Church, we all have mountains here this morning. But if we believe God's promises, nothing is impossible with God. Got a mountain this morning? God has a word for you. I want you to notice three different situations going on in this passage of Scripture. I want you to see first the dad's mountain. The dad is desperate. He has a child who's sick, and he's been sick from childhood. And this child is a danger to himself. I mean, dad can't go anywhere where he can't be guarding his child. This child's been known to throw himself into fire, so this child is probably scarred from the fires that he's been in. When he sees water, he throws himself into the water. And dad is just constantly guarding him. Dad is desperate. Dad is urgent. Dad is probably rather humiliated because people have seen how his son is living his life, and that can be embarrassing and have to explain what's going on with his son. Dad is exhausted. Dad is frustrated. And dad has been seeking help with the disciples, but guess what? The disciples can't help him. They're rather impotent. I mean, they've been trying, and the demon isn't coming out of this child. And so the dad pushes through the disciples, and the dad has had enough of the disciples. He sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Jesus, can you help? Those who are followers of you, they can't help me. Jesus, I need for you to help me." Isn't that a little bit of what the church is like today? You know, there's people on the outside that look at the church and they think, boy, the church is rather inept. The church isn't, can't help. It's irrelevant. And so they've disregarded the church, but they still like Jesus. And they want to get to Jesus. Church, I want to be a church that believes in the power of God and is there to help those who are desperate for Jesus. May people on the outside not push through us and try to get to Jesus. May they know that Jesus is here. And may we be here to help them get through their mountain. And we've got people that come through this church and they're looking for help. Church, we need to be there for them. Well, that's kind of a picture of what's happening today. And so dad pushes through the disciples. He comes to Jesus. And he doesn't have a lot of faith. You know, he's not our example of faith. But he knows that Jesus can heal his son. He says, "Lord, I believe." I think this is, if you turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. It's in your handout, verses 20 through 24. It's right after Matthew. Yes, thank you. I think I know that. But he says, look at verse 20. "And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately he convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at his mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' He said, 'From childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe. Help my unbelief.'" Boy, does that describe you? This dad had faith in Jesus that he could heal his son, but he also had that area of unbelief. God, help my unbelief. That's the example the Father has for us in this passage of Scripture. Then you see the smirking crowd. I mean, these disciples, they've been on display, okay? And they've been failing in the eyes of the smirking crowd. And you can just imagine the gloating that's taking place with the religious people who say, "Oh, look at these followers of Christ. Look at them make a spectacle of themselves, and they're not accomplishing anything." And so the disciples are facing that pressure. But then you see the disciples' mountain in Matthew chapter 17. The disciples are powerless. They're humiliated. They're confused. Confused because, you know, it was just back in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus sent out the 12. And he told them to go and in Jesus' name cast out demons and heal people and just preach the gospel. And they did. And they saw the power of God in their life. They came back just on a high mountain. Look what God did through us. But here it is, Matthew chapter 17, and they're confused now. It's not happening this time. Why couldn't we cast out the demon? And, you know, it's interesting as we read this passage that Jesus isn't very sympathetic with them. You know, Jesus doesn't come up to them and say, "Oh, guys, I'm sorry it's not working out. If I had been here, I could have helped you." And he doesn't feel sorry for him in the least. In fact, that he gives them a strong rebuke. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 17. What does he say there? "Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I going to be? Am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." Why is his rebuke so strong? Henry Blackaby says this: when we don't believe, unbelief shuts down the activity of God in our life, in the life of our church. Jesus is telling his disciples, "Guys, I'm not going to be with you much longer. And if you're going to survive in this world, you're going to have to believe what I say. Don't believe in yourselves, but believe in what I have told you to do. And with God, all things are possible." Now, there's a qualifier there. In verse 20, he says, "If." Verse 20 says, "And he said to them, because of your little, truly I say to you, if you have the faith like a grain of mustard seed." The "if" is you've got to be operating within the framework of what God has promised to do in your life. You can't just go out and do anything. But if God has told you to do something, you can believe that God is going to resource you, God is going to empower you, you are going to accomplish what God has called you to do. But it's got to be within what His framework is. If you've gotten a word from the Lord, rest assured, you can step out on faith and know that all things are possible. But the question you've got to answer is, God leading me to do this? Now remember, when God tells you to do something, it is going to be a crisis of belief. Why? Because it's going to be God-sized. God doesn't call us to do things that we can accomplish in and of ourselves. When God speaks, understand it's going to be God-sized. And if we're going to accomplish this God-sized task, guess what? It requires a certain kind of faith. Not little faith, but mustard seed faith. If you're going to move that mountain in your life, or as a church, if we're going to move those mountains, it's going to require mustard seed faith, not little faith. What's little faith? Little faith is what we can see. Little faith is what we've got in our hand, or what we've got in the cupboard, or what we've got in the bank account, and we think we can do. But when that resource dries up, guess what? So does our faith dry up. That's little faith. God wants us to have mustard seed faith. And what's mustard seed faith? Well, it starts little, but it doesn't stay little. What you do with a grain of mustard seed is you put it in the ground and it germinates. It stays in the ground. It perseveres and it begins to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and it has an impact on God's kingdom for all eternity. This is the faith that we need to have. Believing in who God is, what He said He is going to do. Little faith fades quickly when you can't conquer the mountain. Mustard seed faith remains, perseveres, and grows. The disciples had little faith. And what did they do? They quit. Here was this demon-possessed boy, and they prayed and asked the demon to be removed. It didn't happen the first time. Maybe they did it again. It didn't happen the second time. Maybe they did it again. It didn't happen the third time. And guess what? They gave up. And Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9. If you look back at Mark chapter 9, it's the same story that's happening in Matthew chapter 17. Just from a different perspective. Yeah, Peter is telling this story to Mark, who's writing it out in Mark. And the other disciple, Matthew, is writing this account from his perspective. Okay, but look at verse 28. It says, "And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" Is God testing you? You know, as we journey in our relationship with God, there's things that, you know, when we come into relationship with Him to begin with, it's new and refresh and exciting, and we see God answering our prayer, and we think, wow, this relationship with Him is awesome. God is changing my life. God is using me. But you know, as we grow further in our walk with God, He gives us more tests. He gives us more mountains that are more challenging, that's going to require more prayer, more patience, more perseverance, more faith. And He wants that to grow. And that's what Jesus is doing with His disciples here. He's telling His disciples, guys, don't give up. I want to see your faith grow. I'm so glad Matthew put this in Scripture. I'm thankful that Peter told it to Mark to write down in the book of Mark. You see the disciples, they're being very vulnerable. They're being very transparent here. They're letting us in on some of their failures and where Jesus rebuked them, where they needed to grow. You seen yourself in this passage of Scripture? I tell you, I see myself in this passage of Scripture. You know, I've been on staff here, pastoring the church for 8 years, but been on staff for 13. And I've seen God tell us to do some things corporately, to trust Him, believe what He's called us to do. Kenny, can you turn down the air a little bit? It's a little stuffy in here. Just a degree, maybe. You know what? God has done some amazing things. And with everything God has led us to do, it's been a crisis of belief. Now, I wasn't here in 1975 when God led this church to start Emmanuel Christian School. But some of you were here, And I know that that was a miracle. And how God provided every step away. There was mountain after mountain after mountain, but God removed the mountain because people believed in the power of God, that God had led them to do this. I don't know that history, but I know that ICS has mountains today. And God continues to be faithful, and the doors of Emmanuel Christian School continue to remain open. But you know what? There was a crisis of belief when we started the Child Development Center. And it was obvious that God was leading us to do this. We had looked around in our community, what was a need in our community, and how could we meet that need? And as a church, we said, yes, God is leading us to do this. Not everybody agreed with that. We didn't have, we weren't unanimous, but we did have consensus. But some people who didn't agree left our church because they felt like we were being anti-family, encouraging mothers to work outside the home. You know what? Mothers were already working outside the home, and we wanted to provide a place where they could be in a Christian atmosphere, where they could know and experience that love of God. But as we walked through that crisis of belief and some people left, it really impacted our budget. The CDC wasn't making it financially in the beginning, and the church was having to underwrite their debt. And I remember a point where the church was $27,000 behind, the revenue was $27,000 behind expenses. And Pastor Payden, in order to take some of the pressure off the budget, he went to Hawaii for 3 months. Now, it wasn't a vacation, but he helped assist the Hawaii Baptist Association over there, convention. And so that took some pressure off the budget, but we were still having financial difficulty. And the CDC, they were $18,000 behind revenue. And there was a family in our church who sold some property on China Lake Boulevard. And they tithed that income to the CDC and the church. They gave $25,000 to the CDC, and they gave $25,000 to the church. That was a God thing. That was God who moved that mountain. And there was crisis. There was a lot of sleepless nights for a lot of us, I'm sad to say. You know, we were looking at the bottom line rather than looking at God. But God was encouraging us. He had called us to this, and He was going to see us through. He wants us to have persevering faith. We went into a legacy. Well, we bought this building. This building had a lot of work to do in it. We had volunteers we bought this building for $600,000. There's 60,000 square feet in this building. $600,000. I mean, that was a gift from heaven. We went into a capital funds campaign. I think we pledged $800,000. We eventually raised about $1 million. We took out a loan of $400,000. We had to replace carpet. We had to redo the sprinkler system. There was over 1,000 feet of wall that needed to be moved in order to make this a kind of facility that we could use to minister to people. There was no kitchen. It was at that time that God led us to start the CDC, and we had to take like $200,000 of that amount and do the playground and put toilets in back there, do modifications. It was a huge step of faith. But 10 years later, I would estimate that you've probably given over $2 million to make this facility what it is today. And by God's grace, in 2 or 3 months, we're going to pay off the Mojave loan amount, that $400,000. We're going to be paying that off with 6 years early. Church, that's a God thing. But just know this. It's not about facilities. We're about the Great Commission in this church. We take the Great Commission seriously. We give nearly $150,000 to the cooperative program, the association, and to support missionaries around the world. We don't keep it all here. In fact, through all this time, you know, we adopted Togo, the Tamburma tribe, as our unreached people group. We did that 6 years ago. Next weekend, we're going to be sending two of our very best to Togo, Africa, full time. And our church is very instrumental in supporting them. We also believe that God was leading us to plant a church in Adelanto. We've been setting aside funds, but God hasn't raised up